Welcome to It's Your Turn. I'm Brenda Florida, certified life coach, and no matter how exhausted, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed you are, there is hope. You can start exactly where you are. There's nothing wrong with you. In fact, you're ready for it to be your turn, or you wouldn't be here. You know, we hear words like vitality and confidence and empowerment and transformation, but what do they really mean? What do they look like in the practical aspects of our life? In the It's Your Turn podcast, we explore, learn, and put into practice practical tools and wise concepts for transformation. This is real life change, not platitudes. It's the intersection of the practical and the aspirational. It's your turn to make decisions that are aligned with exactly what you want. And if you've lost connection to what you want, that's okay, we'll reconnect it. You'll learn how to shift out of self-sabotaging patterns and tap in to the clarity, confidence, and vitality that you may feel like has been lost forever. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat of your life and embrace the power that is within you. So let's get to it. What have you been conditioned to believe about yourself or about the world that actually may not be true? This is such an important aspect of growth. I cannot overstate it. There are so many limiting beliefs that we are taught are true, whether it's from our family or from culture generally, from systems like patriarchy and capitalism and racism and all the isms, you know, that we can have a perspective about life, the world, and ourselves. Let's include relationships. So life in general, how the world works, our relationships, whether those are platonic or work relationships or intimate relationships, all relationships, and ourselves. We can have so many beliefs that are actually not true, or at least not true for any of us as individuals. You know, might be true for me, not true for you. Okay. Might be true for you, not true for me. And it's so easy to miss how those beliefs are impacting how we engage in the world and even the things that we'll attempt to, you know, do or achieve, you know, whether it's personal goals or professional goals or physical, you know, slash health goals, any of that. Like, I believed all my life, two different things that I just thought of the second one too, that I believed totally, like not, didn't make me per se feel bad about myself. To me, they were just like, well, it's just truth. Like it as if, you know, I only had one leg. It's just like, I can feel bad about that, but I only have one leg. So let's just figure out how to do that and move on. Right. So those two things for me, I have two legs. So that was just for example purposes, were that I wasn't smart. I did not believe I was smart and that I'm not athletic. Okay. I couldn't even tell you where I got those. Like a lot of people who have beliefs like that, they're like, oh yeah, teacher, you know, my gym teacher made fun of me, whatever, or some school teacher or a parent or a grandparent said I was dumb or, you know, like whatever. I don't even know where it came from. And I, like, for the smart issue, I got good grades all through school. And like in high school, I didn't even try hard and I got A's and B's. So why did I think I wasn't smart? I have no idea really, but I did. I believed it 100%. Like I didn't take my SATs when I was in high school because I was too worried about getting a super low score, right? You can't, they're not pass or fail, they're scored. But I was afraid I would get such a low score. It would be super embarrassing. And partially because I didn't think I was smart and because I believed, again, cultural and religious conditioning, family conditioning, that because I was a woman, my, you know, what I would do, like I didn't need to worry about a profession, so to speak, because I'm going to get married and have children and be a mom and support my children and my husband and keep a beautiful home, right? Because I'm a woman. So I didn't have any particular professional ambitions. It's funny because I did used to think I really wanted to be a flight attendant. When I was a little girl, I took my first solo flight from San Francisco to San Diego when I was either 5 or 6 years old. Well, based on when we lived in San Francisco, I must have been six. And oh my gosh, I loved it. I loved being alone. I had a pretty intrusive mother. So I loved having that time by myself. I was going to my grandma's. I loved being at my grandparents'. And so I loved where I was headed, right? And that I was traveling alone. I felt like such a big girl, you know? And back in those days, the flight attendants would serve those after dinner style little square mints. Like this, they weren't even wrapped, right? This was we didn't have the sensitivity towards germs then that we do now. And they would come at the end of the flight with this kind of little wicker basket, you know, like with a napkin in it and these little after dinner mints and serve them to, you know, everybody on the flight. You would just reach in and pick out your mint with your hand. Anyway, so the flight attendants asked me if I wanted to do it. And I got to walk up the aisle of that airplane and serve everybody mints. And I was in heaven. I mean, I just loved everything about it. I still love to fly. I love to fly so much that it doesn't matter if there's delays or, you know, all the airport drama that can happen or rough flights, whatever, you know, I'm so happy every time I get on an airplane. I'm happy once I get in the airport. I love it so much. Okay. But anyway, other than I had a fantasy of wanting to be a flight attendant. And then occasionally when I was in high school, I would have sort of a fantasy. It was very fantasy of myself, like as a lawyer, like in a suit, toting a briefcase, you know, doing something important. But I didn't pay much attention to those little fantasies because I believed so predominantly that as a girl, I would just, you know, I would get married and have a family and take care of them. And that would be my job. And my husband would create, be the breadwinner and, you know, do the job and create the income and all of that. And I never questioned that. In fact, one of the biggest surprises of my life was after I got married and with my husband and I opened a Domino's pizza franchise. We did very well for several years. And then after we sold that and he did the second business that we had, which he did on his own, it was a flop. And so anyway, we started this downward financial spiral, but it ended with me deciding to go to work. And when I realized I was going to need to go get, you know, a job, I have no college degree. I need a profession to start bringing some significant money into the household because my husband is not. That was like the biggest shock of my life because never, other than those little brief fantasies of being a flight attendant or being a, you know, briefcase toting lawyer, I never in my wildest dreams thought I would work, let alone need to support my family. And then, you know, after several years, we were divorced and I needed to be the breadwinner then for the rest of my family's life, the rest of my life. Because even though I was in two other relationships after that, I've never had my partner support me financially, other than for one little brief, like 6 month period of time where I was in between things. But anyway, so I had this belief that I absorbed from my culture that, you know, women don't, that's not what they do. Not, it wasn't super judgy if a woman wanted to work, you know, we weren't super judgy about she was doing something wrong, unless she had kids at home. Then we were judgy that she wasn't being a good mom because she was choosing to work. So anyway, but certainly for me, I had absorbed this internalized belief that I would not do that, that my husband would support me and I would support him and the family and take care of the home, right? And I didn't, it's not like I contemplated that and decided as a teenager what felt true to me. I just, that was what was given to me by osmosis, and I didn't question it. And I think, a lot of this goes along with personalities. Like, I did not have a personality that questioned things naturally. Some people do, and I love that. And I'm so jealous of that sometimes because I think that would have saved me a lot. But what I want you to think about today is what have you absorbed from society, religion, your family, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It could be from your childhood, it could be an influential person as you are an adult or an experience that happened to you as an adult. You're mugged. And so now you have the belief that it's never safe to go out, right? Where somebody else can get mugged and be like, well, yeah, that was a bad thing and that happened to me, but I'm not going to quit going out. It can be something like going back to my flight attendant fantasies, like flying is safe, flying is not safe, right? There's plenty of people who have an internal belief, even though they know it's not backed by statistics, that it's just dangerous to fly. They're afraid to do it. Something could happen. And so they don't fly. My mother would never get on an airplane. The only time she did it was a couple of times when my dad sort of, forced her, didn't give her an option. But once they divorced, she never got on an airplane again because, it was too scary to her. So that was a belief that she had. It's not safe. It limited her life dramatically. And I'm just saying, we have all absorbed these things. And so what I want you to think about today in this episode is what have you got that you have absorbed or you've been conditioned to believe, however you want to think about that, whatever words resonate for you, you've picked it up. It was a response to something that happened to you. And now you, won't do this or you always do that, whatever. And is that, and then ask yourself, like, is that really true? Is that really true for you? And I don't mean the impulsive, of course, impulsively, you're going to get, well, yes, it's true for me. Yes, if you'd asked me as a teenager, do I want to go be a lawyer or have kids and have a family? I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna have kids and have a family. That's what I want to do. That's my truth. My truth is my mother's my best friend. She's my hero, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's what I was conditioned to believe. My relationship with my mother was so enmeshed. There was nothing else to think other than she was perfect. And because that's what enmeshment does. This won't be an episode on enmeshment. But I, even if you had asked me, I would not have questioned that. Okay. So what I'm asking you to do is looking at something because you're a growth-minded person or you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. And this is how we find where we are ready to grow. It's probably something that you're either already questioning or something that's irritating you or something you're seeing in somebody else that is either the same or similar. One of the things I love to have people do, I do this when I teach sometimes in big groups, or I've done it with clients on a one-on-one. So you can do it with me now as a way to kind of open the door to what might I not be seeing. Because I've just absorbed it. I've been so conditioned to believe it's true that I'm not questioning it. That I'm ready to grow out of. I'm ready to evolve to a higher state that takes me to my own personal truth about this right now. And personal truth evolves with us, right? So we don't, truth is a river, not a rock. Okay. It moves, it grows, it evolves, it expands as we do. So, all I'm looking for is what is my truth today? And one of the exercises I do is I'll ask you to think about a hero or somebody you really, 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 really admire. Okay. And I want you to think of three reasons that you admire them. And they can be a fictional character, or it could be a celebrity or somebody that you don't really know them, but it's how you perceive them, like an Oprah or a Nelson Mandela or, whatever. Gandhi, Mother Teresa, I don't care. Pick your person, is what makes you admire them, right? Even though you don't know them as a person. And think of those three qualities. And whatever those qualities are, you admire them in somebody else, whatever it is, decisiveness, their ability to be truthful, their even a talent, like how well, think of like a Maya Angelou, how beautifully she wrote, right? How profound, right? She had so much wisdom. So think of these like characteristics or qualities of that person. And we can use like some of those I just spit out. We'll say character, let's use wisdom. It's more defined, like try not to use super, super broad, you know, they were nice. Let's say she was super wise. She was a beautiful writer, a really talented writer, and she broke through a lot of barriers. Okay, so those are three things I admire about Maya Angelou. So then I look at myself and I say, okay, so where do I have those qualities too? But I am either dismissing them, you know, sometimes you're dismissing it entirely and thinking I'm not that way at all. I'm not wise at all, or I'm not a good writer, you know, whatever. But the way I've used this, and we can almost always find it, you know, is that there is a way you are diminishing or dismissing something that is truthful about you. And if it's something specific, like talent in a specific area, like writing, maybe I'm not a writer, but I'm probably creatively talented in something I'm not giving myself credit for, or I'm dismissing, or I'm saying, oh, I'm not that good at it, you know, whatever. And the reason why I admire it in her is because she was owning it. And that's my signal that it's time for me to own that. It's time for me to own my wisdom. It's time for me to own that I'm ready, like in the breaking through barriers things, maybe I haven't been, maybe I've been a pretty compliant, like for me, I was super compliant. And so I wouldn't, you know, think that about myself. And truthfully, I hadn't broken through a lot of barriers in my, even, oh gosh, probably even until I was about 40, other than divorcing my first husband, which was breaking through a barrier because in our religion, that was a very much a no-no. But anyway, so let's say, oh, well, okay, I haven't really done much of that. But this is my sign, this is my calling that I'm ready to grow into that, or I wouldn't be admiring it so much in somebody else, okay? So look at that for things that you want to open up to as like looking for where are my growth points? Where am I ready to let go of something I've been conditioned to believe about myself? Or believe about the world, or believe about my gender, or my race, or my sexual orientation, or my gender expression, or whatever it is, you know, like whatever it is. What have I been conditioned to believe that I've just kind of allowed to be absorbed as a that's true, and start questioning that? Is it really? Because like, here's this person, you know, we can go back to Maya, who as a Black woman in the era she grew up in, I mean, there just weren't that many famous Black women. And so she was breaking all kinds. She didn't, you know, likely have somebody she was admiring, you know, this whole idea of representation that is evolving now and expanding so much. And I love it, but we've still have a long way to go of, you know, when I've never seen somebody like me do that, I've never seen a woman president, right? So a girl who grows up and she never sees a woman in that role, she is going to automatically think it's not available to women, to people who look like her, or a person. I mean, at least we had Obama for a few years there, but you know, a person of color. There are so many rooms you can walk in that are so white, it's ridiculous. And so it would be easy to think if I'm a person of color, I'm not going to be able to do that. Whether that's a job or, you know, have a seat at whatever table that is. And so we absorb things like that. So Maya obviously didn't absorb all that, or she, you know, broke those belief systems that she was raised with so that she could become more than what she would have become if she believed them all. And that's the thing. They're all so limiting to us. Our personal truth is so much more expansive and allows us to do so much more and be so much more. And that's why it's so empowering. That's why it's so important to me to talk about these topics, to coach people through this kind of thing, to provide tools, because that question of, is it true, is so powerful. I use it all the time with myself. I use it all the time with clients. There's so many things that we can unintentionally, really sort of not consciously, okay? We're not using our conscious mind. We're just believing them and we don't realize it. So that ability to question, wait a minute, is that true? I remember the first time somebody invited me to actually, this is so ironic or just ridiculous, asked me to go see Phantom of the Opera, which I didn't know anything about, except it was, you know, a live theater thing. And because the name opera was in the title, I thought it was an actual opera. But anyway, and so I said, oh no, I don't like opera. And my friend was like, well, first of all, it's not an opera, it's a musical. And second of all, what do you mean you don't like opera? Like, have you been to the opera? Because she knew me well enough to know that my family did nothing. We didn't go to museums. We, you know, we always live right near big cities, San Francisco, San Diego, Denver, you know, but we never did anything like that. No art exhibits, no museums, no theater, you know, nothing. And so I was very unexposed to all that kind of stuff. And she knew me well enough to know that. So she's like, have you been to the opera? Do you know if you don't like it? And I was just like, my gosh, I don't even know why I said that. Because no, I don't, that's not coming from me. That's something probably, you know, I heard family members say, or, you know, to make excuses for why we don't do things like that or whatever. I don't even know. But it's just like my, am I smart? Am I athletic? You know, turns out my body's pretty athletic. But when I believed it wasn't, I did not do athletic things because I had that story that I don't believe I am athletic. I didn't, you know, challenge myself intellectually. I didn't, you know, even in the choices of things I read and stuff, I wasn't doing it on purpose, but I would sort of end up self-selecting, right? The way we do just so fast, so unconsciously, like this is for me, this is not for me, whatever, without really taking the conscious time to think like, is that true? Am I just telling myself I'm not smart? Somewhere I picked up that belief, but what if that's not true? And maybe that's an easier way for you to ask it of yourself instead of, you know, the sort of more challenging and direct, is it true? You could go with like, what if that's not true? What if I wasn't afraid to fly? There are plenty of people who are not, me being one of them. So what would open up? What would change about the way I think about my life and what's possible for me, or where I might go on vacation, or who I might go visit if I wasn't afraid to fly? And if that feels expansive, then that's probably your sign right there that that's a fear you need to learn how to overcome. I'm not saying it's not a real fear. I don't mean it's not true that you're afraid to fly. You are, if you are, you know, in that case. I am not smart. I'm actually very smart, but it took me until I was like in my mid-30s before I could see myself that way. And funny thing, how my career opened up after that. Before that, even the jobs I took were sort of low paying things that, at least to me, I didn't think I had to be super smart for. And when I started believing I was smart, it totally changed what I thought was possible for me, because I'm a super ambitious person. Now I knew that. And so because I'm ambitious, once I got rid of the I'm not smart, then I was like, ooh, I could do this and I could do that. And I could, you know, and I got excited about things that I was never excited about before. So my sort of teaser tempter for you is there are so many things that are available to you once you release some of these beliefs that you've absorbed from, you know, culture, the collective, your family, religion, all kinds of things can happen, you know, can do it. And develop that conscious relationship with yourself that is not afraid to question those beliefs and say, wait a minute, does this really serve me? Is this what I want to believe? Is this the only thing that's possible? You know, whatever. So you can open up to a new way of thinking, a new possibility, because that's where the power is. That's where the freedom is. That's where your expansion is. And that is what I'm here for all day long. It's what I love about doing this podcast, about doing the stuff I do on Instagram, from free stuff to paid programs to one-on-one coaching. That is my mission in life, is to help people find their own truth so they can expand into it. Because your truth is so much more expansive than all these beliefs we've been conditioned towards, or the habits that we've been conditioned into, or have used as coping devices to deal with our trauma or to survive whatever awfulness that we've all had to survive. Because if you're listening to this, you've probably had your share of trauma, as I have. And so we pick up all these coping devices that just feel like who we are, and they're not who we are. Who we are is so much more expansive, and there's so much more that's possible. So thank you for letting me in on your journey to your personal truth. And I am always ready to go deeper with you. So head to the show notes if you want to shoot me an email or share something in the comments about your own journey, or book a free call to talk about working with me. Visit me on Instagram, where I'm, you know, putting stuff there all the time. Brenda Florida Coach on Instagram. And thank you for having me as part of your journey to your personal truth and the life that's possible for you, because you follow that personal truth instead of what you've been conditioned to believe. Thank you for joining me for this episode of It's Your Turn. I've got resources and links in the show notes for you, but here's what's more fun. DM me on Instagram at Brenda Florida Coach and let me know you listened to today's episode. I'd love to connect with you. Then share this episode with somebody who needs to hear it, because I know you know somebody who needs to hear it. And I'll see you in the next episode of It's Your Turn.